Amen. Hey, we're on a series of lessons, just a couple weeks series. Last week we started called Believe. I was thinking about for weeks and weeks, maybe a couple months, just along this word. It kind of stuck out to me in my Bible reading and was just thinking about how just a teaching, a quick couple weeks that we can talk about this and the importance of believing. In fact, we said last week that for a person to be saved from their sin, that's all of us, they have to believe in Jesus. Before you're saved, you actually got to believe something. You got to believe in Him. And not only believing in Him, the scripture actually differentiates what part of you needs to believe. You don't believe in your head. The scripture says you actually have to believe in your heart or your inner person or the real you. So something that causes a man or a woman or teenager or young adult to be born again, to be one with God, to be saved, what the scripture says, is you've got to actually believe something that might not make any human or natural sense. We'll talk about that again today. So salvation is of extreme importance, as we talked about and sang that song about the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus over in the Old Testament, over the house, the death angel passed over. The blood of Jesus washes away our sin. Well, for the blood of Jesus to wash away your sin, it's a fact, but it will only be in your life to the effect that you are born again and you believe Him. And believe the power of that blood to wash you, cleanse you, renew you, revive you, restore you, redeem you, save you. You have to believe that. Look on the screen real quick. A couple thoughts here. In God's kingdom, we said this last week. In God's kingdom, you don't get saved unless you believe. And you don't receive anything unless you believe. In God's kingdom, the key that will unlock the door is that you actually have to believe something. For you to receive what God wants you to receive, whether it's peace or love or joy or forgiveness, whatever it is, salvation, the very gift of salvation, is you have to actually believe it. And we'll talk about a definition right now. We said last week this definition for believe, look on the screen, means this: to consider to be true or honest. That you are considering what I see in the scripture to be true or honest. It's a conviction that you have. It's an assurance that you have. It's trust that you have concerning a higher law, the law of faith. There's a higher law at work that I can't quite figure it out, but I believe what it says in the scripture. I believe Jesus was God in the flesh. I believe Jesus was born of a virgin. I believe Jesus lived on the earth. I believe Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, taught the word of God. I believe Jesus paid the price for my sins. I believe Jesus went to the cross. I believe Jesus was buried in a tomb. I believe Jesus rose on the third day. I believe Jesus now ascended, and He is sitting at the right hand of the Father on high, waiting for His enemies to be made His footstool. I don't see Him. I've never had a vision of Jesus. I've never been to heaven, but I believe, I have considered to be true and honest. It's a conviction I have. It's an assurance I have based on the authority of God's word. It is a higher law that I ascribe to, that I believe, called the law of faith. I don't understand, we said last week, I don't understand how for centuries after centuries after centuries, nobody could figure out the law of lift, how a bird flies in the air, that they could actually make a plane fly like that. I still see these planes flying to San Diego, and I go, my Lord and my God, how does that thing that weighs ton and tons and tons fly up in the air? Well, there's a law at work called the law of lift that when you cooperate with other laws, gets you off this atmosphere and gets you into another atmosphere. There is a law called the law of faith that it will get you off of this earthly atmosphere and will bring you into a heavenly atmosphere. Will get your eyes off of everything that's going on around you, saying, I can't see it, nothing going to change, nothing ever good happens to me. That's called just normal, natural thinking. But there's a law at work that you can believe God according to the scriptures, that God is all the while effectively at work in you. Come on, everybody, that He's turning things around. Come on, He's working when it doesn't look like He's working. Amen. Can I get a better amen in the room? So we said this also, that believing means that you trust, you have confidence in, and you're now persuaded. Is that you? How's you believing? Have you believed? Do you have confidence in? Do you have confidence in the Word of God? Have you been persuaded that God's Word, God's way, who Jesus is the ultimate truth? We said that believing's more than wishful thinking. Believing's more than wanting something to happen. Believing requires us to move past our own five physical senses. Our five physical senses won't line up with what the Bible says many, many times. Believing is certainty. Believing is that certainty based on the authority of God's word and God's will. Has nothing to do with my past, has got nothing to do with my present, has got nothing to do with what it looks like in the future. My believing is based on what God said in his word. There's a guy that came to Jesus. We said last week, if you weren't with us, let me just kind of give you a little refresher. There's a guy that came to Jesus, actually Jesus' disciples, and he had a son that was demonized. And the son came to the disciples, and they couldn't cast this demon out of this boy. And it was an awful, awful situation. And then finally, he came to Jesus. And he said, Lord, if you can do anything, you know, come on, have mercy on me and heal my son. And then Jesus said this in Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said to him, he said in verse 23, if you can believe, come on, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Lord, I'm believing as far as I can believe, but this is help my unbelief. Jesus spins it right back on the man. If you can believe, if you can believe, I can do anything, Jesus is saying. But if you can believe, anything you face that the word of God addresses that I will do, I will do. I can do, I want to do. It's not the problem with me. The problem is, will you believe it? Will you believe? Will you move beyond your flesh? Will you move beyond your senses? Will you move beyond what it looks like and what you've experienced up until now? Jesus said, anything is possible for whoever believes. So whenever we can find a promise in the Word of God, you've got a right to believe it. For yourself, for your marriage, for your kids, for that which concerns you, for your mind, for what thoughts are going on, for peace in your life. When the scripture says you can have it, you can have perfect peace, you have the right and authority from the word of God to believe it and then to receive it. Anything's possible. So something maybe you need to do regularly is check up on your believer. Are you really believing? And then what are you believing? Or has unbelief slipped into your life that you go, I used to believe it, but nothing's happened, so I guess it's not going to happen. How do you believe? We said this last week. How do you believe? How do you become? I mean, you give your heart to Jesus. You know, I did when I was 8, and then I backslid until I was 20. You know, so when I was 20, I got back on track, and man, I've been on track for, you know, 44 years now, and don't plan on getting off track. Come on, everybody. Come on, if you're on the track for that long, no sense going back, right? You know, and let the train run down the track. But how do you believe? Well, we said this. Look, you read, you listen, you consider, you think about, and you apply God's word. Here's how you become a believer. This is how you believe. Pastor Gary, come on now. That's just way too simple. No, this is going to take you the rest of your life. You're going to read the word. You're going to listen to the word. You're going to consider what it says to you. Then you need to think about it, meditate. You need to think about it. And then you need to figure out, how do I apply it? How do I work it out in my day in and my day out life? Listen, all believing will bring you to some kind of action. I believe the gym gets me strong, but I don't go. Whose fault is it, the gym or me? I believe if I go to that health food section and stay out of the chips and the cookie section, my life will be better. But how many of you know, cookies and chips call my name? And so, okay, anybody like me? Anybody like me in the grocery? Come on, thank you. Come on, you go to the grocery store, come on, you got your cart, and you go, I will not go down that aisle today. Anybody ever do that? I will not. And I tell you what, every time I got a bad wheel going down that aisle. I need a new card. That's what I need. Bible believing is going to require you to think new thoughts so you can have some new outcomes. So I want what the Bible says. The Bible says I can have whatever it is. I want it, so I've got to think new thoughts along with the Word says so I can have a new kind of outcome. We said this last week, but a different scripture, a different translation. I like it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. It says this, let the Spirit change your way of thinking. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to help you change your way of thinking. He's going to speak to you. The Holy Spirit, as you read the Word of God, is going to start talking to you, think this way, think this way. One translation says this, let God's Spirit make you think in a new way. Just, Lord, help me. Help me think in a new way. I want what you have, and I'm not quite seeing it yet, or I'm not quite there, and maybe I'm struggling. I wasn't raised in church, and that's cool, man. Most of us weren't. But listen to me. If you begin taking the Word of God and renewing your mind with the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's going to come to your aid, and He's going to start changing the way you think. That's good news. Amen, everybody. Now, let's look at one of the key scriptures in the New Testament, in the Gospels, concerning what this believing and how it worked out with this guy called Thomas. And before we throw Thomas under the bus, that we know Thomas is called, come on, anybody remember his first name? Doubting Thomas. That's what we call the brother. But how many, listen, if you know church history, Thomas actually went and had a church, and he was actually killed because of his belief. So Thomas in Egypt was a God follower. So come on, if you're doubting right now, if you're not quite a believer right now, believing the Word of God, you're a Christian, but you're not really quite a believing believer, listen to me, your life can finish stronger than it is right now. It did with Thomas. Here it is, John chapter 20. Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12 disciples, was not with them when Jesus came. Jesus had already been resurrected, and they saw him, but Thomas wasn't there. And the other disciples said to him, we saw the Lord. He said, unless I see his hands and the print of his nails, and I put my finger in the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. That's where doubting Thomas comes from. I will not believe unless I see it for myself. And a lot of people's argument now for not being a Christian is because they weren't there 2,000 years ago. They weren't there. And so since I wasn't there, I won't believe. Well, I wasn't there when they wrote the Declaration of Independence, but it's powerful today. 8 days later, verse 26, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them this time. And Jesus came, the doors were shut, and he stood right in the midst of them and said, peace be you. Just kind of comes right through the wall. Peace be to you. And look what he does. He comes right immediately to Thomas. So how many know Jesus heard what Thomas said? He said to Thomas, reach your finger here. Look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So Jesus says, there's a different kind of faith, Thomas, that you haven't even exercised. You've not even believed me. These believe. You need physical evidence to believe. And Jesus says, Thomas, that's wrong. That's wrong. There's a kind of faith that I require that you've got to believe something before you actually see something. And so this is kind of alarming to me because this guy walked with Jesus for years. So just as a reminder, I wrote this for all of us to see on the screen. It's possible to be around Jesus for a long time and still not really believe. It is possible. You could be around church your whole life and never believe what the Word really says. You could pray every day. I don't know how you could, but he hung out with Jesus. And he didn't get it. Thomas had to see it to believe it. Listen to me. This is not faith. This is not believing. This will get you nothing supernatural from the Word of God. And when you read it, you go, how come nothing is happening? Because I got to see it before I believe it. I got to feel it before I believe it. I got to have it before I trust it. And God says, that's not faith. A couple different translations say this concerning what Jesus said to Thomas. He said, don't be faithless. Stop doubting. Quit lacking trust. Leave your faithfulness behind. So here's what I believe with all my heart. Look on the screen here. Doubt is a choice. Doubt is a choice. To believe what you see, what you hear, and what you feel is greater than the Word of God. Faith also is a choice. To believe what you see, what you hear, and what you feel is under the authority of the Word of God. I believe God. Faith is a choice. Doubt is a choice. I don't know about you, but I choose faith. I choose believing. I read something yesterday, and I've been thinking about it all day, just as one line. You know, when you read something in a book and it kind of sticks out, and you just, or I saw this in a note that I took years and years ago, and here's what the note said, just two quick lines. Quit thinking with your eyes. Think with your heart. Quit thinking with your eyes. You see something and go, that's the way it's always going to be. That's the way it's always going to be. Quit thinking with your eyes. Think with your heart. Think with what the Word of God says. Think in line with the Word of God. If you'll think in line with what God says, you will start seeing what God says for you. Remember John chapter 8, John 8, 31, 32. Familiar scripture. Jesus said to the Jews that believed him, notice that they already believed him. That's paramount. They already believed him. But notice what he tells them. If this conditional, if you abide in my word, and you're my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So one more time. The Jews believed, or certain of these Jews, they believed in who he was. But he says, now, if, conditional, if, you might not, if you abide, continue, remain, settle down, are constant, connected with me in my word. If you abide in my word, he says, you will be my disciples. You can be a believer and really not a disciple. We talked about that, being an apprentice. I believe something, but I'm really not quite all in there. I'm really not quite all in. So he says, if you abide in my word, you become my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth will make you free. Listen, why is this so important? Because what Jesus is telling us here is that abiding wards off unbelief. It wards off unbelief and allows you to walk in freedom. Not just, I believe something once, I said yes to Jesus. Yes, Romans 10, 9 and 10, I believe in my heart, I confess with my mouth, I repented of my sin, Jesus is Lord of my life, I prayed that years ago. But are you really still believing some impossible things God can take care of in your life right now? Do you believe that God will show up and show out in your situation? Or are you saying, that happened in my life before many times, are you like that dad with that child? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. So when I'm abiding with God, when you're abiding in God and you're abiding with God, it is positioning you to stay in faith and allows you then now to walk in the freedom of what that word says it'll accomplish in your life. Again, it's not something you have done, it's something you do. We've said it for like, I don't know, 18 months now. This is why you have to have a daily quiet time with God. You have to get along with God. You have to read the Word of God, because the Word of God is going to wash your mind with his thoughts. The Word of God is going to come counter to things that I'm seeing in the world, I'm feeling, it's all around me, I'm feeling bad, I'm feeling like I'm in a dead-end job, a dead-end career, feeling like God's not going to use me, I've got grace on my life, I believe it, but I'm not seeing, I'm not walking it out, and you're going to wind up in a dark, dark hole. And God says, I don't want that. I want freedom that's going to come in your life where you know the truth, and that truth will set you free. You are a believer, but now let's take another step. Let's become a disciple. Let's become a disciplined one in the scriptures, in what we're thinking. Let's take every thought captive that doesn't align with the will, the word, the purpose and plan of God for your life and for your family's life. Let's take that captive and let's see what God will do in your life as you believe him. That you're not a doubter. I don't see anything happen right now, but I'm choose to believe God that when I pray, to the Father in Jesus' name. I have an audience with God and he hears me. Come on. This is the confidence I have in him. Come on, everybody. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know he answers us. Come on, everybody. Confidence. How's your faith? Is it confident? Have you been persuaded? You got a conviction on the inside? Where you know this is true. I might not have seen it yet. I'm believing God for my family. I got some, you know, kids or grandkids or brothers or sisters are a little sideways right now. But I believe God that when I pray, God's going to work. Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody. God's going to work. God's on the scene. Yeah, he is. The scripture says he is. The scripture says he is. So this believing thing, though, listen, it's so huge because, again, when Jesus comes on the scene, we know from the Old Testament, really believing didn't have anything to do with the brothers and sisters in the Old Testament. All that they had to do was to do something. They had works to do. Eat this, don't eat this. Wash this, don't wash this. If you touch this, you're unclean. It was all works and law-based. And Jesus comes on the scene. Check this out. In John chapter 6, look at verse 28. Jesus says to these people, he says, they say to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Lord, hey, Jesus, what do we need to do to work the works of God? Look what Jesus says. Jesus says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him, who he said. What do we need to do? What do we need to do to kind of get right with God? What do we need to do to get on God's side? What's the activity that we need to do? You don't need to do any activity. What you need to do is you need to be a believer. I don't know about you, but I'm real glad that God didn't give us a whole litany list of stuff that we got to do. We just have to believe what he said and be persuaded. People are always looking to do something to get in favor with God. And God's saying, leave all that alone and just believe something first. Your believing will then show up in some other activity, but the other activity isn't going to get you saved, isn't going to put you in right standing with me. It's going to happen by you believing what I said so you can see what I want to give you and bless you with. Let me just remind you of two stories. Maybe we'll read couple of scriptures. Zacharias was John the Baptist's dad, and that couple couldn't have a child, and so then supernaturally they're going to have a child, and an angel comes to him. An angel says, "Hey, you know your wife's pregnant, and Zacharias, and I want you to name this boy John." And starts talking to him some more stuff about what this guy is going to be. He's going to be a prophet, a forerunner of Jesus. And check it out what it says in Luke 1:19. The angel says to him, "I'm Gabriel." This is Gabriel. This is one of the three angels. Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent here to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings about this son that you're going to have. Verse 20. But behold, you're going to be mute. What? And you're not going to be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. An angel standing up, Gabriel, and he says, I got a word from you from God the Father. You're going to have a son. His name, I want you to name him John. And the angel said, you don't believe me, brother. And so here's what's going to happen to you. You ain't talking till the boy comes, till mama delivers him. How many know there'd be a lot of mute Christians if that was going on right now? And of course, John came and his mouth was opened, and they said, what do you want to name? They said, John. And look at the other side of the coin of this in Acts chapter 27. Paul is on a boat going to Rome. He's going to Caesar to plead his case. And while he's on this boat, this hurricane comes up. And it's the third day of this hurricane, and the guys, the sailors, think they're all going to die. And Paul says this in Acts 27:23. There stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, don't be afraid, Paul. You must be brought to Caesar. And indeed, God's granted you all those that sail with you, all these other men. Verse 25, he says, therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. I believe God. Both these brothers saw an angel. One believed, Paul, and one didn't believe, Zacharias. So we think, most people think, if God just showed me a dream, if I just had a vision, if I just saw this supernatural occurrence, I would believe. No, you wouldn't. You might believe for a minute. Why? Because believing is of the heart. Believing is not of the head. You'd take it away. You'd say, oh, man, that's just some kind of AI thing. Somebody's messing with me. It's sleight of hand. It's magic stuff. It's trick. I believed it then, or I'm not believing it now. Believing is of the heart. Paul says, take heart, men. I believe God. I believe what God said. I believe it's going to be just as he told me. Listen to me. If you'll get to the place that you will believe what God said based on no evidence to your physical situation, if you'll believe God based on what it's been year after year after year, but somehow today you say, I choose to believe God again. Listen to me. The minute believing is connected, faith is activated, where you say, I trust God based not on what I feel, based on no emotion, based on no sense, no seeing, no nothing. I choose to believe based on the authority of the Word of God. You are on your way to eventually seeing it. But if you set yourself up like Thomas, I won't even believe it unless I get some kind of goosebump, unless I get some kind of confirmation, you're not going to see what God wants you to see. God was extremely gracious to Thomas. Jesus was. That's an outlier for us guys. God might front you a couple of things in your early Christian walk, but after a certain season, he might give you one of those, maybe two of those. You are going to be required to believe what God's word says and to then act on that word without any physical evidence. Can I get a better amen in the room? Come on, how many of y'all? We're going to be believers, right? We're going to believe. We're going to believe what the word of God says. A scripture that we've read, Psalm 27. I know you guys are tired of me reading the scripture. But let me go back to it one more time. Band's going to help me right now. Psalm 27. It's one of my favorite. I was thinking about this that if you want a psalm besides Psalm 23 to memorize, I haven't committed all this to memory, but I'm thinking in 2025 we all should commit to memory Psalm 27. 14 verses. That'd be amazing, isn't it? That we could actually memorize 14 verses and be able to recite it together. Maybe we should do that. We got no response from the church. Come on, we got one response. Come on. I like a challenge, right? Come on, I like a challenge. But he says this, the psalmist says this toward the end of this, the last two verses. I mean, he starts out, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord's the strength of my life, but whom shall I be afraid? When the enemies came up and came around me, they stumbled and fell. Though a host rise up against me, in this I'll be confident. One thing I desire of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I got four verses. I need 10 more. I need to memorize 10 more. But he comes down there toward the end, and he says this. Come on, it'll be on the screen. Read it out loud with me, will you? Come on, 1, 2, 3, read. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. This is, in the last year, this has been one of my favorite Old Testament scriptures. Because He speaks so much to me. I mean, one more time, just read it. Read it out there. One more time. You guys sounded too good. Come on, verse 13. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Look, courage to believe comes as you wait on the Lord. Listen, every single day when you're alone reading the word, you're praying in the morning, at night, whenever your quiet time is, you moms with kids, God bless you, you sneak away for three minutes. Maybe it's in the bathroom, maybe when the kids are in a nap. Dear God, God bless you moms or dads watching kids. And you just slip away. Courage to believe comes as you wait on the Lord. If you're not waiting on him, listen to me. It's going to be easy to fall aside. In those times, the Holy Spirit is strengthening your inner man, your spirit man. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I'd see something that I haven't seen. I don't see it yet. But in that time of waiting, your spirit becomes resolved again. Jesus said to the believers, those who believed on him, if you abide, you remain, you're constant, you're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. This is daily. Not weekly, not a Sunday thing, not just listening to me. This should be hopefully the icing on the cake. Daily. Time with him, a resolve and a trust and a confidence, and I become persuaded again. My spirit gets strengthened again. I believe this with all my heart. Listen to me. A heart loses strength to believe when it doesn't wait on the Lord. I believe this is where all, listen to me, discouragement comes. So you need to control your environment. You put praise and worship music on your 30, your 40 minute commute in the morning. You shut off the radio. You shut off Fox News or CNN or all crazy stuff. You shut off talk radio and what somebody else is saying. You put on praise and worship music. You put on good, solid Bible teaching and you hear the word. You control your environment. Your heart starts getting large to believe again. Psalmist said, I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That I would see implies I've got a hope for my future. I don't see it right now, but I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord. So I'm hoping, I'm confident. I don't see it. My faith is saying yes, yes to it. And I can't stress this enough this morning. That the activity, let me say it this way, the work, this is the work that you need to do. You need to work to wait. You need to work to not do something. You need to work to just be still and listen and be quiet. There was a guy, a pastor, or he's going to start a church. And he posted this thing, and I kind of went, what a stupid post. And here's what the post said. I think you're going to laugh at me because I'm going to point to me. I'm challenging all you guys out there, pastors, that you would spend 30 minutes a day in prayer. He said this, undistracted, 30 minutes in prayer. 30 minutes undistracted reading the Bible. And I'm going, the next morning I got up and my mind was like a squirrel chasing acorns. I wonder what the weather is. I got an email. I wonder, what's going on with the election? My prayer time, can I say this, pardon me, sucked. I could just sense the Father going, let's just draw in a little closer, Gary, and leave some stuff behind. And when you wait, my heart enlarges, and I don't have to do anything. But all of a sudden, my double-mindedness, my swaying, my staggering, my wavering, as James says, I'll receive nothing from the Lord, all of a sudden goes away, and I get solid again. So the activity of just waiting, listening, being still, let a communion come between you and the Spirit of God, really demonstrates a belief that you have that the power and the authority of the Word of God is real and that God's at work in your behalf. And I don't have to do anything. I don't have to say some magic prayer. Forgive me for saying those words, but magical prayer and kind of like, ooh, I'm not really praying. I don't pray like them. God, I've got four children. I've got six grandchildren now. Each one of them, I love each one of their voices. Totally different. God loves to hear you. God just wants to be with you. So. What do you do when you come into those situations that you go, man, it's like fear's gripping your heart. Fear's gripping you. What do I do now? Listen to me. Here's what you do. You wait. You wait in His presence. You open up the Word of God and you say, God, You were faithful to Jairus and You raised that daughter from the dead. Lord God, You were faithful to Mary and Martha. And Lazarus came out of the grave. You multiplied loaves and fish. You showed Yourself true to men and women who trusted You. I'm going to leave off, Lord, when I'm with You. I'm leaving off the what ifs, the uncertainty, the time element. I believe I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in my land. And so here's my posture, Lord. I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm not going to be of good courage. Courage is going to come in back in my life. Discouragement is leaving. I'm going to keep waiting. That word wait, I'm going to be bound together by twisting. Fabrics coming together, twisting to make a cord. Your will being twisted into my will, where no longer it's my will, my thoughts, where I don't see. It's seeing You. It's seeing the Word of God. Jesus says to Mary at Lazarus' grave, didn't I tell you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of the Lord? Don't tell me believing's not important. Come on, all of the room, stand up this morning. Would you do it? Lord, we're here from different places. Come on, bow your head. We've got different needs. We've got things all around us, Lord God, that are going on, that we're looking for answers. So, Lord God, we surrender our life again to You. Father, we're asking, forgive us. Forgive us for not believing You, believing the Word that You're really active. Lord God, today, we take a step in just these moments, just these few moments, just waiting in Your presence. The prayers that we prayed that we haven't seen answered. We haven't seen with our eyes, Lord God. But we know You heard us. We haven't seen the change. We haven't seen the turnaround. We haven't seen the healing. We haven't seen the provision. We haven't seen the child turn or the addiction broken or the thoughts leave the minds. But Lord, today, we're going to abide with You. And courage is coming again to us as we wait in Your presence. I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all of my fears. Come, Holy Spirit, move amongst us and move in us. Draw us to the Word. Draw us to the very, your Spirit, the Spirit of God. Every thought that we've had that doesn't line up with the Word of God, Father God, would you banish that from us? We wait, oh God. We wait. Would you do that? Hands are raised in surrender, Lord God. We're saying with our hands raised that we want you, we need you. We're asking you, Lord God, to speak to us personally. Show us and tell us things to come, you said, by the Spirit. Bring revelation and insight into secrets and mysteries from the Word of God. Let us see like we've never seen before. Let us hear like we've never heard before. Let us understand like we've never understood before. We draw near to you, Lord God. You said you draw near to us. That's our heart posture this morning. We believe that we will see the goodness of the Lord in our land. Come on, everybody. In our home. In our home. In our church. In our city. Come on, everybody. Our nation. We believe we're going to see the goodness of the Lord. We're going to see your goodness. I believe, God, it will be even as it was spoken to me. Come on, church, we believe God. We believe God. Come on, church, we believe God. We believe God. It will be. Come on, the healing will be. Come on, the answer will be. The salvation will be. The new job, that situation will be. Come on, God's working. God's working. Come on, God's working. God's opening doors. God's shutting other doors. God's working. He's working. So we believe it before we see it. And our posture is thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, all over the room with your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Come on, put your hands down, no one looking around. You're here today, and maybe you've been all service long. You just say, man, there's something different. I know I got to get my heart right with God. I know I've heard of